I invite you, as you're able to stand, for a gospel lesson to be paired with our Palm Sunday proclamation. It comes from a familiar section of Matthew's gospel from the Sermon on the Mount, a time when Jesus was speaking directly to his disciples and to a crowd. Listen for the word of the Lord. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We wish we could go back and change it all, knowing what we know now, of course, the regret and the shame, the guilt for the decisions we made are overwhelming. But to go back, if only a few days ago, we would do it all differently, being all the more wiser, more studied, and more prepared that we are now. I'm talking, of course, about our March Madness brackets. I don't know. Because no one has made it through Friday unscathed by the drama and the heartache, and the madness continues. If only we knew then what we know now. All right, my lament rant is over about brackets. We'll talk about Palm Sunday and Jesus, both of which they have some similarities to the madness of March, basketball, sort of. Because what we want to say, having heard the text that Maggie and Jack read so beautifully, is we want to say, do something. That's what we want to tell the crowd, is to stop. Don't let Jesus get on that colt and ride into Jerusalem. Had it been burrito, he wouldn't have had a problem. We wouldn't have had to stop him. Right on, King Jesus. No man can hinder you, but burrito can. I've seen it happen. We want to say, stop it all. Didn't you see him up top the hill at Bethany after this beautiful anointing service? Didn't you see him bawling his eyes out, Jesus? He was crying. Just stop him. It's a trap. Don't let him ride into the city. Peter was kind of the only one who tried to stop. He tried to stop it all way back in the north part of the Galilee, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, you can't stop this, to Peter. Peter said to Jesus, don't go into the city. That's where the prophets go and they kill the prophets. Don't go there, Jesus. The Pharisees, I suppose, they technically tried to stop Jesus for other reasons, and Jesus told them, if you silence me, even the stones will cry out. We have a unique vantage point, though, don't we? Because we know what is about to happen. We know the degree of suffering into which Jesus, King Jesus, is riding. We know what he's getting himself into, and we know that in the same way he entered into the world in darkness, silent night, holy night, that the world will again be darkened and silent in a few days at his death. Matthew even tells us how the darkness of his death caused a major earthquake. And shortly after that, zombies came up out of the tombs and started walking around the streets of Jerusalem. Did you know that part about the Bible? We say the word of God for the people of God, zombies walking around, thanks be to God. Can you imagine Aunt Rachel and Uncle David having been dead, sitting down at the supper table? Hey, guys. That's for another day this week, though. But read it. Palm Sunday, in a strange kind of way, it's kind of cringeworthy if we're willing to sit with it honestly. Palm Sunday can call to mind, like the season of Lent, the things we wish we could go back and change, warn ourselves about, warn others about, like that time that we might or might not have egged the neighbor's car. You know, or the harsh words that we've said to someone we love, we wish we could go back and change that. Or not saying goodbye to someone before she died. We wish we could go back and change that. Or sneaking out past curfew, or wearing those bleached peg pants or parachute pants. That's a Gen X vibe. We wish we could go back and tell ourselves, don't do that. Just don't. Or for others, more pointedly, we wish there were times when we had been present more, not in the office, but at the ball game. We all have regrets. We wish we could do things differently and say things differently and take it back and a do-over. We wish we had a do-over to life's brackets. We would totally be better versions of ourselves, wiser, in tune with life so much more than we were back then. If only we could change it. And so for the comforts of our glorious pews and sanctuary on this spring day, what we want to say to Jesus and to the crowds is, stop, they're going to kill you. And to the crowd, we want to say, you say hail him now, but in a few days, you're going to say nail him. It's coming. Betrayal, the abandonment, the crown of thorns, the lashes, the farce of a trial, the sour wine, we know what's coming. And so part of Palm Sunday, for all of its grandeur and celebration, is haunting. Maybe a little bit embarrassing that we think so highly of ourselves, that we would be totally different if we were in the crowd, that we would have treated Jesus much better outside of his favorite city. We would never abandon Jesus like his disciples did. And for all the pomp and surrounding the triumphal entry, we would never be so fickle as the crowd that week, because we know what's about to happen and we would have stopped it. You know what else is true? The ones closest to Jesus and those traveling around with Jesus from town to town telling people about Jesus and all the wonderful things that he was doing, they all knew, or they should have known, what was coming. Jesus told them he would be delivered into the hands of death. He said, destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the scribes and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. He told them all. He had their attention, crowd and disciples, at the Sermon on the Mount. He told them how to act. At the Sermon on the Plain, here's how to act. Here's how to forgive. Here's why to forgive. Here's how to love your enemies and turn the other cheek. And you are salt and you are light. We're pairing that with the line from St. Francis, who said, let me be an instrument of peace. And where the song of darkness is playing, let me play the song of light with my life. Jesus told his disciples, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. They knew what to do. And yet for all the times Jesus showed to the disciples his Holy Week flashcards, this is happening on Wednesday, this is happening on Thursday, this is happening on Friday, they couldn't stop the sequence of events to which Jesus chose to give his life. There's not enough good deeds of piety. There's not enough thoughts and prayers, no amount of sin avoidance or money or influence. Nothing could have stopped this. There was no transfer portal option where a new name, image, and likeness would come in and save that. It just wasn't working that way. Nothing could replace the act that Jesus had to endure to draw all humanity to God. So it's hard to remember one of the things that Jesus did tell his disciples about being the light in the darkness of this world. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Don't hide it. Put it out there for everyone to see. And I suppose the crowd and the disciples, having heard that in a sermon, thought they were doing it at the triumphal entry. We are shining for you, Lord. This is our lampstand moment. Yes, we understand all the political implications of shouting, Hosanna. It's a strange thing for us to hear, this Hosanna, as a political statement. But it would be kind of like we Americans are having a big celebratory peace somewhere, but there was another government in charge that didn't really want us to do that, and we were raising our American flags. It didn't sit well with the ears in the minds and the hearts of those who were more oppressive with a sword. But yet, they waved, "Hosanna, son of David, the one who established Jerusalem. Son of David, Hosanna. We are shining for you, Lord. So now call down your army to destroy Rome, to overturn religious power. Ride on, King Jesus, and light up the world with your power. And we'll be right behind you. We are on fire for you. We are lit and right behind you. Ride on, King Jesus, and light up everyone who does not agree with what we're doing." But Jesus' light and the light he told the disciples to shine was never about power. It was not about having to be right or heard or served or getting one's way. It was certainly being God's light in the world does not mean overturning things through violence, ever. In fact, that thinking is the very darkness into which Jesus rode and for which he died. And I think that's why he wept. The light he came to bring and the light his followers anticipated were so different. The way of heaven and the light of Christ, the light we are told to be, so that the world is illuminated by the ways of heaven, is not about power, but powerlessness. And that's why Jesus rode. It's not about being served, it's about serving. That's why Jesus rode. It's not about getting one's way, but giving life away. That's why Jesus rode. It's like Francis's prayer. We've been praying it every week. Let me so not to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand. How will Palm Sunday and the light of Christ riding into the darkness of humanity's sinfulness change who we are as God's people? It is in giving that we receive. It is pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to ourselves like Christ that we are born to eternal life. That is the courage and humility with which Jesus rode into Jerusalem and walked the Via Dolorosa to his death. Somehow the great paradox of Palm Sunday and Holy Week, it centers around changing our minds about the love of God that we see in Jesus Christ, who lit up the world, but did so through nonviolence and through washing feet and through inviting uncommon people to a common table and dying for floundering disciples and fickle crowds, the ones who got it all wrong and just could not understand the light that Jesus was bringing. So they extinguished it and abandoned it and denied it, put it in a tomb, and rolled a stone in front of it. That's not what we expected from you, Lord. When we told you to ride in, that's not what we wanted from you, Lord. And it's still not what we expect or want, is it? So all these years later, we want so badly to believe we would have done it differently because we know the rest of the story. We've seen the error of the ways from the triumphal entry, and we hear it annually. We would do so much better, but we wouldn't, and we don't, and we can't, because we're human, and we are the disciples, and we are the crowd. This is the story of us too. And the Son of Man still rode alone into the darkness of humanity's sinfulness and our blindness to everything he has been telling us for 2,000 years, and he still rides weepingly but willingly into the darkest caverns of the human soul, because that is what the light of the world does. It eliminates the darkness of all that entombs us and blinds us, even when we believe we have it all figured out and Jesus is our personal wish-granting colt-riding table flipper Messiah. So he keeps riding, because none of us can ever save ourselves. And he didn't just ride into the impending darkness of Good Friday to save only those who have it all figured out and never do anything wrong. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, rode into the darkness of all of us to love us back to life and light, so that we may love the dark world back to life and light in the same way. That's how Palm Sunday catapults us into Holy Week. I'm issuing three assignments for this week. First, throughout Holy Week, think of the dark places in your life, and if it's time to allow the light of the world to shed some light on a few things. And then think about the darkness that others are walking through, grief and fear and despair, loneliness, and how you are called to be the light of the world, sacrificially riding, maybe alone, if that's what it takes, into the stories and places that need the light of Christ. Secondly, pray courageously like Francis, that where there is darkness in my life, I would offer myself to the light of Christ. Where there is darkness around me, that I may be the light of Christ in this world. Right on. And thirdly, I want you to do something else while you're at it, because Palm Sunday, I love wordplays. Palm Sunday always has this double-laden imagery. It's about it is about palms. Yes? It's about palms also. Hands. And how we choose to use them. So at the outset of Holy Week, pay attention to what Jesus does with his hands throughout the week, and how each act is a source of God's love and God's light in this world. Because it's hard to carry crosses if we're busy throwing stones. I love this from one of my favorite Instagram people. It's hard to carry crosses if we're busy throwing stones. It's hard to wash feet if we're busy on our phones. It's hard to pray for enemies if we only pray for wishes. It's hard to hand loaves and fish if we're feeding only ourselves. It's hard to love our neighbors if we don't even know their names. And it's hard to build bridges if we are building walls. It's hard to be sources of light when we are blinded by the darkness of our pride and intolerance and despair and doubt and fear and anger and unforgiveness. So ride on, King Jesus, because we know the story. We know the palm story. And we know what Dr. J will preach next week, and yet we still choose darkness for some reason. So ride on, King Jesus. Ride into our lives this week and help us to roll away some stones that we may see again with the light of heaven. Welcome, my brothers and sisters, to Holy Week, the most important week in human history, the most important week in your life, the most important week in your year. The light of the world is triumphantly entering the darkest corners of your life because he loves you that much. And he will ride in over and over and over again. So Hosanna, blessed is the light coming for our darkness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.